Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We've got Brian in studio. We've got Ron here. Welcome, guy. Well, nice to see you again. Not welcome.
Hi, Shane.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just saying, this week has flown by. It's just, I can't believe.
Yeah, Ron's over here flapping his arms.
Yeah.
It has.
And if you were, we can just thank the Lord that you guys are able to hear us on a Saturday, because this will air on Saturday. The station was down.
Yeah, it was a nasty week for KTIA.
Right, so we're thankful that we get to, you know.
Yeah, you're going to hear us.
You're going to hear us, yeah.
So. I hope that doesn't disappoint them too much. Hey, what gives? We had the show prep done last night, early evening, instead of 2 a.m. this morning. What's up with that?
Well, it helps when you have interviews.
Well, are you saying that if we didn't have interviews lined up, that you would have done your normal 1:30 in the morning?
Well, depends on what. No, not necessarily.
When did you? Okay, when
because you got to remember, last 2 weeks we've been covering the convention, so I've had to wait till last night.
Well, that's true. That's yeah. Well, when did you do the clips for today's show?
When you and I chatted yesterday.
Did you really?
Right as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, yeah. I think Mr. Vanderhart has turned over a new leaf.
Yeah, I wouldn't get too excited.
It's been a monumental week as well, because we've had a couple of anniversaries. I understand Caffeinated Thoughts, the blog, just celebrated its 10th anniversary.
Yep, on August 2nd. I went back and checked, and it's like, yeah, August 2nd was the first blog post that went up.
Congratulations.
And then, yeah, with my business, it's 4 years. So
yeah, my business was 10 years last week.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So anyway.
A little celebration here, folks.
Yeah, some people are probably excited. Some people are like, really? Just let it die.
What in the world are we doing this morning anyway?
Well, we have a very special guest on the line. He is running for president. He is the nominee for the Constitution Party, Daryl Castle. Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, Daryl.
Thank you very much. I am more than happy to be with you.
Well, a question I ask any candidate that comes on our show
always
is, why in the heck are you doing this? Why would you want to run?
Why would you do this, Daryl?
Well, I love my country, and I've served it for a great deal of my adult life in one form or another, and I think right now there are some serious things at jeopardy that are being lost and will never be recovered. One is the Constitution and the whole concept of constitutional government, the rule of law, and how we remain a free republic. I think that may have a short time to live, and it's very disturbing to me. Once it's gone, it may never be recovered.
Well, one thing that I hear, I'm a never Trump guy, and one thing that I'm hearing a lot is like, don't waste your vote, Shane. Don't waste your vote on a third party candidate or a write-in. Or can you explain to our listeners why that's the wrong approach?
Well, I can give you the usual cliche answers, like if you. You'll never get what you want unless you're willing to vote for it and that sort of thing.
But right.
As Christians, we're not permitted to have that attitude. If we have any regard for Scripture, in the book of Romans, chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul tells us that we are not permitted to attempt to achieve a good result by doing evil. And so, to paraphrase that, if you think you're going to prevent a greater evil by doing something evil, Scripture says you shouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other references throughout Scripture. In Exodus 18:21, the people are told, right after they came out of Egypt and they wandered around in the desert for a while, they were told what type of people they should choose as leaders. so as Christians, we have those guides to go by, and I would tell Christian people something else, that if they would just take one step of faith for God, he might bless this country again.
Well, so along those lines, Daryl, how long have you been out of, shall we say, the mainstream political parties? How long have you been a part of the Constitutional
Party? Well, I was never in the mainstream. I mean, okay. I voted for mainstream candidates before the Constitution Party existed, but I was a founding member of the Constitution Party in 1992, okay. and I've been involved in it ever since.
From the get-go, okay.
Yeah.
So what led to that? Just
what led to my helping found the party?
Right.
Well, I was entered. I was asked by a person, a gentleman who ran a small investment company, who I was going to vote for, and I said I'm not going to vote for either George H.W. Bush or Bill Clinton. And he said, "Why don't you contact my friend Howard Phillips? He's trying to start a new party." So I called Howard. Howard was an official in the Nixon administration and highly thought of in politics. I had never heard of him, to be honest about it, but mm-hmm. I called him, and we sat down, and we put a team together of people to form this party, and he convinced me that we could change America, we could change the world by holding up the original intent of the founders, the original intent of the Constitution, and just being steady and faithful for that for as long as it took. You know, God sent the Israelites into a wilderness for 40 years. Mm-hmm. He sent them into exile for 400 years. But he told them while they were there that they should be faithful, and he would accomplish things in his own time. So I'm still waiting. And this is a good opportunity for people to be faithful to God, because when the Republicans rejected Ted Cruz, that angered a lot of people, not just the fact that they didn't choose him, but the way they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those people have been turning to us.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, as far as your qualifications, your background and experience.
Well, by profession, I'm a lawyer. I graduated from law school in 1979 from the University of Memphis. I have degrees in history and political science from East Tennessee State University. I served 4 years as an officer in the Marine Corps. I've been married for 38 years to the same woman, and we have one daughter. She's 32 now. And I was a candidate for vice president in 2008. I've never held political office, but I have done almost 700 podcasts on current affairs and things of that nature that are available on my podcast website. So,
and it's castlereport.us, isn't it?
Right.
Okay.
Yes. And I am obviously more than 35 years old, and I was born on a small farm in East Tennessee, so I am a natural-born citizen, so there's no problem in that regard.
Okay.
Daryl, if you can take just a few minutes and contrast your positions in the Constitution Party from the Republican Party, for example.
Well, we in the Constitution Party... We believe we can have it all. We don't believe we have to try to get as close to the Democrats as we possibly can in order to attract more votes. We just hold up a standard. As George Washington said, you know, if we take positions that we ourselves can't defend, how can we later defend our work? Let us instead raise a standard to which the wise and prudent may repair. So the standard that we raise is the original intent of the Constitution, and that is that rights come from God, and they are not bestowed on us by government. Instead, government is restricted to only 17 enumerated powers as set out in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. Okay, that's number one. Number two, we think the United States should once again return to being a free and independent republic. It should leave the United Nations. I have a podcast that explains that in depth if anybody's interested in my reasons. We believe that we should abandon the Federal Reserve. We should get out of the Federal Reserve. Monetary policy should be returned to Congress where the Constitution says it should be. Once again, I have a podcast that explains that if people are interested in why. Mm-hmm. We believe that all life is important. Life comes from God. It's endowed by God, and it's important, and it deserves protection. We are pro-life without apology and without exception. Those are some very frank differences, but the big difference is that we believe the Constitution should be upheld. It is the rule of law. It is the standard. It's how the states formed, constituted, if you will, this written instrument to protect us from government. If that instrument is destroyed, if we allow government to destroy it, to ignore it, we will never recover it, and we will always just elect one elected dictator after another. Those are all positions that are vital that not many people are out there talking about.
Right. You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Darrell Castle, who's the presidential nominee for the Constitution Party. Darrell, so heading into this election, how are you guys with ballot access? What's your status?
Well, we are in the midst, the final 2 to 3 weeks of a kind of mini campaign within the campaign, and that's the campaign to get ballot access in enough states. And we're not there yet, frankly, but we're getting closer. I think right now we have 20 states, and there are 5 or 6 other states where the requirements have been completed. The signatures have been turned in, but they have not officially been accepted by the states yet. My prediction now is that we're going to fall somewhere in the mid-30s as far as numbers of states. But the important thing is that the states that you have access to the ballot in, that you're able to get 270 electoral votes, that is what you need to theoretically win the election. So that's very important. Ballot access is difficult for anyone who's not a Democrat or Republican because it's controlled by the Democrats and Republicans in the state legislatures.
Yeah, so not surprisingly, it's difficult for anybody else to get in.
So are you on the ballot, going to be on the ballot in Iowa?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Awesome.
We are certainly on the ballot. Once again, Iowa's a state that I don't think is official, but we have enough signatures, so we will be on the ballot there.
Darrell, you mentioned a number of things that contrast the Constitution Party from the Republican Party, certainly the Democrats. How do you get there? Would you support a convention of states in order to try to bring about the changes that you articulated a few moments ago?
No, I'm not in favor of it. I don't think that's I recognize that it's constitutionally allowed. I just don't think it should be done. We don't need to amend the Constitution to get out of the United Nations. We just need to say we're out of here. We don't need to amend the Constitution to end the Federal Reserve. We just need to say the Federal Reserve Act is hereby repealed. We don't need to amend the Constitution to end abortion, although I support the efforts for a personhood amendment. I know there are other ways, many ways, that it could be done without that. If the president really felt like life was important, he just vetoed all funding for Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers. That would be a big help in the right direction.
Right.
There are many other ways it could be done.
How do you think we rein in? Because right now you have a judiciary that is just out of control, runaway. How do you rein them in?
Well, it's hard for the American people to realize it, but power corrupts the mind and the morals. Judges are not exempt from that. Judges are very political. They're all appointed by Democrats and Republicans. And the Democrats and Republicans do intentional things like appoint people that they tell us are going to be conservative, but they know they're not. And number two, they change when they get into office. They have the same pushes and pulls attached to them that other people do. But
right.
One way that it could be done, the Constitution gives Congress the right to set the jurisdictional limits, not just for the Supreme Court, but for all federal courts.
Right.
So if they wanted to rein the courts in, all they have to do is, by majority vote, is the federal courts no longer have jurisdiction over cases of, involving abortion or cases involving marriage or any other issue they wanted to. That's perfectly constitutional, and it should be used to let judges know that they don't run this country and they don't make law. The Constitution gives Congress, and only Congress, the right to make law. In Article 1, Section 1, it says all legislative power herein granted is vested in the Congress of the United States. So they need to send them that message. That's my view anyway.
Yeah, it's they've had that check for, I mean, obviously, ever since the Constitution's been written. But can you ever think of a time they actually did that?
No, it's never been used.
Okay. I know. President Jackson, courts were defunded to rein them in, but I've not heard of Congress actually.
General Jackson said after John Marshall issued his decision in Marbury versus Madison, where Marshall basically the court took the power to decide what was constitutional and what wasn't. Jackson said, "Mr. Marshall has made his decision. Now let him enforce it."
Yeah. There's some things I really appreciated about President Jackson. So it's, I wish we had that kind of backbone in Congress. And we're almost out of time. So where can people learn more about your campaign?
Well, they can go to my website. That's castle2016.com. On that website, they'll find a donate button where they can contribute to my campaign, and their donations are desperately needed right now. If they want to reach the campaign directly to ask any questions or to volunteer, email Joan, J-O-A-N, at castle2016.com.
Thanks. Thank you, sir.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
In studio, we have a very special guest with us, Mike Knox. He's an independent candidate for Iowa House District 49. Currently, he's the controller for MTS Iowa Incorporated, which is doing business as Majestic Truck Collision and Frame Repair. Prior to that, he was controller for Solar Transport Company, a subsidiary of the Krauss
General Oil.
Okay. And then controller for Krauss General Corporation. Prior to that, he was controller for Casey's General Store. You have a control issue, don't you?
I absolutely.
You like being a controller.
It appears so.
It appears that you not only like to control things, you like to crunch numbers. And you like to crunch them for convenience store chains. What's up with that?
I just kind of fell into that when I got out of college. So, it started there and kept going.
So my first question I ask every candidate is, why in the world would you want to do this to yourself? Why are you running?
You know, that's a real good question because it came this spring to me. I've never done anything like this before, but this spring when I was watching the debate, bicycling is a passion of mine, and there was a bill on the floor of the Senate. So I had a chance to go and look at that and watch what happened to it, and I wasn't overly pleased with how it turned out. So I reached out to representatives and tried to understand what happened and decided that I'd get involved in it and try to help on the next go-around.
Okay. So what your experience, obviously, I read your bio, but how'd you get into doing what you're doing?
In regards to?
Your job, your profession.
Oh, well, went to Iowa State and took business and accounting and then looked for a job when I was out. And Casey's General Stores was good enough to offer me a position there.
Okay. You managed to con them into giving you a job offer.
Yeah, it was interesting. And you know, when you first start out like that, everybody takes a chance, right?
Yeah, that's very true. Very true.
Tell us a little bit more, Mike, about that particular safety bill that was in the. I think according to your notes here, that bill passed 38-12 in the state senate. But it wasn't reviewed by the House subcommittee. Can you walk us through what happened there?
Well, when I went down, I watched the vote on that bill because, like I said, I was really interested in it, and I saw it pass, and I thought, well, there's a good deal. Mm-hmm. This may gain some traction and maybe try to help solve some of these deaths that we have on the road today. So when it then is going to be reviewed by the House the members of the House decide somehow within subcommittees as to which bills get looked at further, and this one failed to get looked at.
Yeah, kind of what happens, what I've found, is that the committee chair will put together a subcommittee, and he'll sign people. If he wants the bill to go through, he'll sign. Each subcommittee usually has three people. He'll sign two people he knows who will pass it through. If he doesn't, then he'll make sure it has two opposing votes.
I haven't been involved in any of that, so I can't speak of any news like that. But, that's what happened on this one. Yeah.
Is that typical, Shane, where you've got a heavy vote here in the Senate, 38-12, goes to the committee and dies? Is that pretty typical?
Oh, that's pretty much how the legislature's been operating since they've had a split legislature. House bills typically die in Senate, and Senate bills typically die in the House.
It's a wonderful thing.
Right. Occasionally, the stuff they have to pass, they'll get through, but anything beyond that, it's hard to see, you know, things get through.
But guys, this is a safety issue.
Right.
I don't think it should be political. So,
Is that really what annoyed you, is this shouldn't be a political thing? It shouldn't be a Democrat-Republican thing? It shouldn't be a left-right thing? It's a safety issue. Where's the problem?
Well, I can understand members not wanting there to be more regulation and things like that. But this I felt needed to be addressed and taken care of. And even Governor Branstad's come out recently and said that this needs to be looked at. And it's not just a bicycle safety issue anymore. It's road safety in regards to, you know, texting and distracted drivers and impaired drivers and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a serious problem, I think, and one that needs to some serious consideration. And it might be good that particular bill didn't pass, because we may need to address this on a wider base, a wider range of consideration for other problems.
Okay. So some of the issues that our listeners are concerned about, for instance, you know, obviously, we've had same-sex marriage since 2009. Now the Supreme Court has weighed in, and now everybody nationally has same-sex marriage. I'm under no illusions that this is going to get turned around.
Yeah, the horse is out of the barn.
Anytime near future, take a minor miracle. Where do you stand on religious conscience as far as business owners? Not denial service for homosexuals, but people who say, a baker or a florist or a musician who doesn't want to participate in a same-sex wedding ceremony. Right now, we have Iowa Civil Rights Commission if a complaint is made, we saw this with Gort's House and Grimes, they can end up being fined. Do you think people should have religious conscience protection when they're asked to participate in an activity, even if they're a business, that would violate their religious conscience?
Well, you know, you're looking at a couple of issues there. One side is going to say there's discrimination, and the services need to be provided for everybody. But that's really hard when I think it would have been nice if we had backed up and the state would have recognized unions, I think, and not maybe used the term marriage. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times how we view issues is how the words that are used, and perhaps if marriage was reserved for a religious base and union was reserved for the public sector in some manner, maybe it wouldn't be as much of an issue.
I'm not so sure that would necessarily take care of a conscience, because if I were, a Christian baker, whether you call it a union or a marriage, I'm not sure I'd want to participate in that particular activity. However, again, it's not blankly denying service because, for instance, Gort's House had homosexual customers.
Right.
They just didn't want to participate in a same-sex wedding ceremony and mm-hmm. have it in their property. So,
I think the same issue could conceivably in the near future come up with respect to church buildings
right.
and ministers.
Absolutely.
If there's no protections in place.
As a basis today, I feel like the person and making the cake ought to have a choice whether or not to participate in that. I believe he should have a choice.
Okay. Where do you come down on the life issue?
I'm very much, I guess, pro-life. I believe life begins at conception, and I feel that, the abortion issue is very personal, I know, and under extreme conditions, maybe they should be considered in regards to the life of the mother and things like that.
Sure, sure. Okay. Education policy is something I write a lot about, and I'm sure you've heard about the Common Core State Standards.
Some.
Okay. Where do you stand on, I guess, local control in education versus state involvement in education, and do you think Iowa should repeal the Common Core State Standards?
Well, I'm much in favor of the schools taking care of things and having as much authority as possible. And I think we have a lot of good teachers, a lot of good educators, and a lot of good administrators in the state. Those that may not meet what we believe are standards, I really think that over time that would be taken care of and addressed based on the community themselves. But we need some measurements, and mm-hmm. we need to help those that don't meet the measurements.
But am I hearing you say, Mike, that your default position is to have the local schools address these issues? Is that what I just heard you say?
Yeah, as much as possible. They know the people. We should help them in any way we can. But they should be able to take care of quite a few things.
Okay. Yeah. Because right now it seems like our school boards or elected school boards have basically boiled down to just overseeing building, and that's about it. They have very little control when it comes to the education, and they can decide the curriculum, but they can't decide the standards. They can't decide the assessments. There's a lot of things they can't control anymore.
Iowa used to be one of the leaders in education, and mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. not the case anymore. And we slipped again this year. So I'm very concerned about our education. I think we should be at the top, and there's a lot of different conditions that are creating that.
Okay. What do you think about the Governor Branstad's emphasis on STEM, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, classes within K-12 school system?
I don't have an opinion yet.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Too early.
Yeah.
Too early. Hey, Mike, let's talk about agriculture. You grew up on a farm. You worked on a farm for a number of years mm-hmm. prior to your career as a number cruncher.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How do you balance Iowa's need for agriculture on the one hand with environmental concerns on the other?
Well, there's always a balance, right? So we need to water. Quality is at the top of the list now, so we need to thoughtfully come up with solutions, and I know there's a lot of research done on it, and I just heard yesterday Iowa in the last short period of time has lost 100,000 acres worth of trees along that's turned into cropland, which is fine, but we have to be thoughtful about what the impact that is on the environment. And you know, I want everyone to be profitable, but we can't do it at the expense of hazardous waterways and hazardous drinking water and things like that. So we have to solve that. And I know that, you know, in each condition has maybe a number of different solutions, and sometimes a buffer zone along waterways and things like that may need to be put into place. But I would rather somehow come up with an incentive in regards to helping create that, because I know it's from a profit standpoint for the farmers, that's what they need to do. I mean, they're there to produce things. So we have to come up with a way to make it profitable for them to consider helping solve the problems.
Well, and I know, too, that in addition to these concerns, we also have to take into consideration that the food that these guys are producing, and I know we don't always think about soybeans and field corn in terms of food, but a lot of those things do indeed go into food products. Food production is going to be very important in the future in this global economy.
Well, it's always a condition, and I don't know yet how that, you know, the advancement of technology in regards to agriculture and the higher yields and those kinds of things. I mean, it's always on the increase, and there's new ways to do that coming out all the time with the technology we have. So as long as there's some technology keeping up with the demand, I don't see that necessarily as a problem.
Okay.
And we're almost out of time, so I want to make sure that we let people know where they can learn more about your campaign.
Yeah, I've got a website, www.picknox.com, and I'm on Facebook at Picknox.
Great. So we can't let this go without talking a little bit about this guy's passion as a bicyclist.
Okay.
Folks, if you've been on Rag Brian, you've seen the guy in the banana outfit with a monstrosity that looks like a banana going down the highway. That's my pal, Mike Knox.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Brian.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give them a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org.
And now it's time for our news rundown, otherwise known as News You Can Use. First up, Mrs. Clinton. Hillary doubles down on her lies and gets 4 Pinocchios from the Washington Post. Director Comey said my answers were truthful. And what I've said is consistent with what I've told the American people, that there were decisions discussed and made to classify retroactively certain of the emails. And that comes from her interview.
In the words of Joe Wilson, you lie!
That comes from her interview on Fox News Sunday from July 31st. Clinton made these remarks after Fox News Sunday host Chris Wallace played a video of her saying, quote, I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified materials. I am confident that I never sent nor received any information that was classified at the time. I had not sent classified material nor received anything marked classified. As Wallace put it, after a long investigation, FBI Director James Comey said, none of those things that you told the American public were true.
Right. Yep. Yeah, he said it was a disaster. He just didn't want to indict her.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He did not.
She comes out and says, I've been exonerated by the FBI.
No, they just didn't think you were criminally liable. That's all.
Look, you have a big problem. Shall we say you have a big credibility gap when you get four Pinocchios from the Washington Post?
Right.
Maybe you're
when you're a liberal.
Yeah, maybe you're not telling the truth.
Right.
Maybe everybody knows you're not telling the truth.
Yeah, when I'm seeing liberal commentators having a hard time, you know, they can't defend her on stuff like this with a straight face.
Did you read that piece by Ron Fournier?
No.
I mean, the guy's a good liberal, and it's killing him to say it, but he's like, we've got to get this woman to stop lying.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just incredible. Anyway.
Just say I screwed up.
It's okay. In her DNA.
More Hillary. Hillary released her taxing and spending plan, and it's rather scary.
Right.
This, according to Fox News, Hillary Clinton comes up $2 trillion short in paying for her policy agenda, despite hiking taxes by $1.3 trillion, according to a new analysis of the Democratic nominee's campaign platform. And what's amazing is I saw a clip of her announcing that she's going to raise taxes on the middle class, and she was cheered.
Right.
I'm thinking
that was a slip of the tongue.
Well, maybe so, but
because
the crowd is like, yeah.
Here's the thing, people, and your low information voters aren't going to sit down and look at this. But you look at her. I looked at the Tax Foundation analysis of her tax plan, and she doesn't change the brackets at all for middle class. It stays exactly the same what you see for 2016 as is. She raises taxes if you make $5 million or higher. Here's where the tax raise comes in for the middle class. It's not obvious unless you itemize deductions.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to cap itemized deductions at 28%. If you are self-employed, you're getting a tax hike. There's no, you know, unless you hardly spend any money on your mm-hmm. business, you're going to have taxes hiked. So that anybody who itemizes, they're going to get pinched.
But the first sentence here in this article I thought was just classic. She raises taxes by $1.3 trillion and still comes up over $2 trillion short relative to her spending plan. Does this not tell you that maybe there's a problem here?
Oh, definitely there's a problem. I mean, she's a Democrat. They tax and spend. That's what they do.
She can just use a credit card, right?
Oh, we got the Federal Reserve. We'll just put more money.
That's what I do when I don't have any money in the bank. I just use a credit card.
Well, they have the printing presses.
That's right. They can just print more.
Right,
there's no problem.
The national debt stands currently at $19.358 trillion. And the amount of debt held by the public alone under her plan would reach $25.825 trillion in 2026. We've got to stop.
Right.
Bad things are going to happen.
Dude, and here's the thing. Donald's tax plan adds to the deficit as well.
Oh,
so
Speaking of the Donald, he is currently getting creamed in the polls.
Yes.
And I know you.
And, the polls are skewed.
Okay.
What about the French people?
Maybe you could say one poll skewed, but come on.
All right. Well, I'm going to talk about the Fox News poll, and then you can take it from there relative to some other polls.
Right.
61% of voters think Hillary Clinton is dishonest, yet she's opened up a big lead over Donald Trump in the latest Fox News poll. Here's why. Majorities think Clinton is nevertheless qualified to be president. Qualified to be president. She lies like a rug, but she's qualified to be president.
Well, presidents lie.
Yeah.
I guess so.
All politicians lie.
Look, she is an incredibly weak candidate. We talk about this every week. This is a terrible, terrible Democratic nominee. We said off the air a ham sandwich could beat this woman.
Apparently not.
No, I'd say the Republican nominee has a ways to go to reach that standard of the ham sandwich.
Okay.
No, seriously, only Donald Trump could lose to this woman. Forgive me for saying it, but that's how I see it. You can't. She's had a dreadful week, an absolutely dreadful week, and nobody is talking about it because the Donald has managed to have one that was tenfold worse.
Because he keeps on talking about everybody except Hillary Clinton. He attacks Ted Cruz. He attacks the Kahn family. He attacks, he gets in this thing with Paul Ryan.
It doesn't stop.
Everything.
His handler's got to be going berserk right now.
Gosh, it's just, now, it's insane.
Where's he end up in this Marist poll?
The Marist poll. Okay, that's even, Fox News. All right, yeah. Trump supporters, tell me Fox News poll skewed, please. Please. I'm begging you. McClatchy Marist, basically, in head-to-head polling, which I think actually this cycle is kind of worthless. She's up 15% in four-way poll or 15 points in four-way polling, including Gary Johnson and Jill Stein. She's up 14%. But here's the kicker, and this like blows my mind: with voters under 30, he is in fourth place. The Republican nominee is trailing the Libertarian Party and the Green Party among millennials. And I don't think it's just because it's the Republican Party. I think it's because the candidate is anathema to everything millennials hold dear.
That is exactly right. Yep. That is exactly right.
So,
well, look, there's still time. I don't want to sit here and say it's over. He's done. There's still time.
The sweet meteor of death could come and hit Earth, and that would change things.
Look, there's some crazy stuff that could happen. How likely it is, probably not. But she could get indicted.
I mean,
there
WikiLeaks
could
just dump a bunch of stuff that's
so bad.
Really bad. Yeah. A big terrorist attack could happen that would make people, because some people think he's probably stronger on terrorism than she is.
If there was a domestic terror attack that came through our southern border or something like that, he would get some definite benefit out of that.
But if you're thinking that the Republican candidate is going to somehow turn things around and act presidential, folks, it's not happening. He's had a chance. He's the nominee now, and he still
stupid,
acts like
fat and ugly.
It's you can't change who he is.
Yeah.
So anyway, with that delightful news. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment. Baby, come give me a kiss. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone, uptown, down home, American kids. You've prayed, but it didn't do much good. You still have the same problems, and God is not helping. Maybe you're not praying, but simply worrying to God. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. God says for us to cast our anxieties upon Him, but too often we cast them like we are impatiently fishing. We toss them out for Him, but then we reel them back in to see why we hadn't caught anything. Better imagery is to cast them out as if we were feeding bread to ducks on a pond. The bread is out of our control once it hits the water, and there's no getting it back. God wants to offer you peace by taking your anxiety. Your best option is to learn to stop worrying to God and start trusting Him.
To learn how to trade anxiety for peace, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Do you want to take advantage of the marketing potential within social media for your company or organization, but you're not sure how? Let me help. My company, 415 Communications, is a social media consulting firm that works with groups like yours. Go to 415communications.com or give me a call at 515-321-5077.
Well, normally we would do our silly segment here, segment four. Can't make this stuff up. But, you know, off and on the last few weeks, things have been a little discouraging. And I happened on to a video that was online. It was put together by RTS, Reformed Theological Seminary. A couple of clips here from Ligon Duncan, who's the chancellor, CEO of the seminary. He's also Johnny Richards, professor of systematic and historical theology there. But he had an interesting few minutes in this video clip in which he discusses the following question. Should a Christian be worried? Go ahead and play clip one, Ron.
Our circumstances are not, in fact, new. Before the Protestant Reformation, there was widespread despair in Europe. The Black Death struck Europe in the mid-14th century. And somewhere around a third, maybe even up to a half of the population of Europe died. The Hundred Years' War began in the 14th century. And there was a major ecclesiastical divide in the church, which saw popes battling anti-popes and a division in Western Catholic Christendom. And people were despairing. They thought the world was coming to an end. And out of that tremendous trial and fire came the Protestant Reformation. The Lord is always up to something, even when the culture looks dark and dangerous and opposing. And as believers, we need to have confidence in a sovereign God that even when we look at our culture and we're depressed, it's not what it ought to be, it's not even what we remembered it to be when we were younger, don't think that God's not up to something. He's always preparing the way to lift up the name of Jesus and to do a great work. And so we have confidence that even in dark times, the Lord.
I got kind of a kick out of that. Here's Dr. Duncan saying, God is up to something. But it really was good.
Right. And yeah, I guess we don't have the Black Death going on or 100 Years' War. So keeping things in perspective here.
Well, that's right. That's right. And then he goes on to speak a little bit about the Apostle Paul on this same subject.
Paul also elsewhere says that the daily anxiety or cares of the churches are upon him. And I love it that Paul says that. The Paul who tells me not to worry about anything tells me that his burden to care for the churches causes him to be tempted to worry all the time. And it just reminds us all that care and concern are good, but care and concern that are not adequately rooted in a trust in God's sovereign providence over us and his watch care of us and his superintendence over us, that those things can leave us in despair. So that the key to not worrying is believing in the good sovereign providence of God. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that he cares for me.
Isn't that great?
That is great. So, church, be encouraged. You know, it seems like it's a dark time for us right now. It's a frustrating time, especially when you look right at the political scene. But, you know, God is still on his throne, and he has a plan and a purpose. And his church needs to go forward and fulfill, continue to work to fulfill the Great Commission and to just be faithful in this time.
Good friend of mine, Dr. Charlie Murphy, always goes on these political rants. You know, we get together and he'll tell me something that really annoyed him that happened. And when he gets done, he always says, but God is in control.
Amen. Amen. Well, this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio with Shane Van Hert and Brian Myers. We'll see you next week, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Take care.